So glad you're here. If you're new and you're watching online or listening online or here for the first time, I'm Pastor Lucas Cunningham, and I'm so glad you are here. Title of this message is Marriage Keys, Love and Respect. Now, some people will say there are three rings in marriage: the engagement ring, the marriage ring, and the suffering. That's what some people say. I didn't say it, but some people say. Marriage was God's idea. He made it for a purpose, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But like many things, we as human beings can mess it up. We can distort it. And God has given us instructions for our marriages. And in general, what are guys known for when it comes to reading the instructions? We don't. We look at something and go, I can figure that out. Now, maybe you like to read the instructions, or you read them, kind of like, but women do it as well. I mean, I want you to think about it for a moment. And guys, do this way. If you ever cooked a microwave meal, or whatever meal it is you're putting in the oven, you put it in the oven, or you put it in the microwave, and what's your next thought? Oh, what did the instructions say again? Like, I didn't really look at it. And you have to dig into the trash and look. Anyone, you've ever done that? Just me? Okay. Well, many of you? Yeah. Never. Okay. Well, lying is bad in church, so we won't go there, but nonetheless. No, we need to read them. And God has given us instructions for our marriages. And some of us have been in some difficult marriages. Maybe you're in one now. Maybe there's a lot of grace that is needed. In fact, I've heard it said by some that the secret to a long, healthy marriage is that it's really a story of two great forgivers, of forgiving one another, helping one another. I want to say this: a husband's job in the home is to set the temperature in the home. The wife is the thermometer. She will give the temperature reading. If it's 72 degrees, it's 72 degrees. It's not 72 degrees or whatever it is set on because she set it at that. It's because us as husbands in the God-ordained role to lead our family, to lead our wife, which God has given us, we have set the temperature. So gentlemen, if there's winter weather in your home, it's because you set it there. Oh, but wait a second, preacher. She does this. She does that. Maybe. Maybe, but you set the temperature. And when I've done had marriage counseling with different couples, I see it every single time. The wife will give me the temperature of the home. And it's clear that either the man has led passively or he has tried to strong arm and control every single aspect of his home. Well, preacher, are you saying a man shouldn't control anything in his home? That's not what I said. A wise man, though, will realize the gifts and the abilities of his wife. And a wise businessman, a wise preacher, a wise whatever business you're in will do what? They will delegate. They will watch over. They will listen. They'll realize that they have strengths and weaknesses too. And a wise man's going to listen to his wife. Amen? Amen? A wise man's going to listen to his wife. Because he realizes there's much he doesn't know. And there's much that she knows about certain things. There's many things he knows about that she doesn't know about. And you complement one another. So ladies and gentlemen, here's the deal. It is tempting to compare your marriage to someone else. And while it's good to have mentors, it's good to have people who can teach you and help you, but when we compare our marriages to everyone around us, I think it was Teddy Roosevelt said, comparison is a thief of joy. It steals joy in our lives, whatever we compare our lives to. And it goes also true for our marriages. So I want to say this. When the grass looks greener somewhere else, it's time to start watering your own yard. All right? You need to water your marriage. You need to water your own yard. I heard also someone say this: when you see the grass is greener, it could be from the Instagram filter. Could be that. And some of you, if you know, I can tell, don't have Instagram. So, but if you, whatever, on social media, people can use a filter, make things look better. And we see that on social media today. You end up hearing news about someone either passing away or a divorce happening. You're like, oh, wait a second. They were so happy online. Like, the pictures prove it. The videos prove it. Why are they splitting up? Because sometimes what you see online is not reality. It's not reality what truly is going on. So here in Ephesians chapter 5, God is showing us and giving us instruction on how we can improve our marriages, how we can need to kind of water and fertilize our own yard. And here's number one: submit to each other. What does that mean to submit? I mean, if you've been in athletics, if you're a competitive person, when you hear the word submit, you're like, yeah, that's for other people. That's not for me. For me, submit? I'm not interested in that. But submit means it means to respect. Means to honor. And here in verse 21, it says, and further, submit one to another out of what? Out of reverence for Christ. That because you love the Lord, because you are a Christian, you're willing to submit and respect your significant other, your spouse. And you do it not because they deserve it, not because it'll make you feel good, but because you are committed to Christ. Because you love Jesus. You know what's interesting? You won't find anywhere in Scripture where it says you need to be committed to your spouse, but committed to Christ. Now, I'm not saying you're not committed to your spouse. But you see, when you're committed to Christ, when your eyes are focused on Jesus, you know the gift in which God has given you in your wife or in your spouse, and you know you're called to honor that. You've entered a covenant relationship, an agreement with one another, and that is a call to commitment. But as you're focused on Jesus, as you're focused on Him, you're committed to Him, you're going to respect one another. You see, it said in that 90% of your happiness in life will be determined upon who you marry. There's a lot of truth to that. Now, maybe it's 990, maybe it's lower, maybe it's higher. If you're here right now and you're single and you're looking for that future husband, that future wife, be picky. Be picky. And I just want to say this. The Bible is clear about a couple things when it comes to marrying someone, and I would say even dating someone. Is if you're a believer in Christ, you should only date other believers. So, preacher, that is like narrowing the field real quick. Absolutely. The Bible says we should not be unequally yoked. In other words, the idea of two oxen yoked together and brought together and stuck together. And so when it comes to who you're going to marry, you're gonna marry who you date. So have those standards of, I'm going to date someone who also loves Jesus and is following Him. That's what you should look for. Now, the way they look doesn't matter? Well, sure, it matters. People have their different preferences and likes. I get that. Some like tall, some short, some whatever. I don't know. But what the Bible is very, very clear on is a Christian has no business marrying someone who's a non-Christian. Period. It's in there, black and white. Now, preacher, I don't know if I like that. It's a guardrail in which God has given to His children, to believers, and will help protect you from a lot of pain, a lot of misunderstanding. Listen, marriage is tough enough when you bring two Christian people together who come from different backgrounds and different families and different way they do things in life, and you kind of have to figure, you know, your family out as you come together. But I will say this, is that as you're coming together in marriage, that who you marry is going to determine a lot of your happiness. You know, as well, that part of marriage that God designed marriage for is to help you in holiness. In holiness. And as you are focused on Jesus together, imagine a triangle. God's on the top, Christ is on the top, And here's the wife, here is the husband. As you focus on Jesus, and as you grow in Christ and you mature in Christ, you'll become even closer to one another as you move towards Christ. It will help you when your focus is on Him. Yet, sure, can one of the spouses stay down here as the other one pursues Christ? Can that create conflict and problems? Absolutely. And that's why the Bible says, man, marry someone who also loves Jesus. The number one destroyer of marriages I've seen is this, is selfishness. Selfishness mixed in with some pride. That, well, I'm not interested in doing that. Why would I do that? That's a waste of my time and my money and my resources. And see, it's not natural to think about other people outside ourselves. We are naturally selfish. And listen, gentlemen, that's one of the reasons why we see right here in this passage, we see a call to sacrifice. There's a call to love your wife, but there is a call to sacrifice. And so, men, when you think in your mind, that's going to take time, that's going to take money, that's going to take me extending myself and maybe not being able to do everything I want to do, God has called you to a life of sacrifice, not to selfishness. And so, every day when it comes with our families, what will we do? It's not normal to put someone else in front of you. But God's word is awesome and it's so relevant that as in this passage, the very first thing He calls us to do is to submit one to another, to show respect, to value. And the reason so many couples will not submit to each other is because they first have not submitted to Christ. When you submit to Christ and you're committed to Him, everything else will fall in line. You see, you can't claim that you're becoming more and more like Jesus if you're not willing to submit to Christ, because even Christ submitted to the will of the Father. And if Christ was willing to submit to the will of the Father, we should be submissive to the will of Christ. And so, we are called to submit one to another. Then it moves on here in verse 22. It says, wives, submit to your husbands. And so God addresses wives. And what does ultimately this word submit mean? It means to show respect. It means to yield. Just as you're driving and you see the yield sign and you see another vehicle coming, you are called to yield. You're letting the other vehicle go because it has the right of way. And so as you submit to your husband, you show respect to your husband, you are also submitting to the Lord. You're pleasing God when you submit to your husband. Now that doesn't mean that your opinion doesn't count. That doesn't mean that you cannot or not able to make decisions. But what it does mean is that you need to support him and that God will honor you for following his leadership. And there will be times this is not always easy. It's not always easy. Many women have a problem with submission because they think, but I'm smarter than my husband. I'm more educated than my husband. I have more common sense than my husband. I can't submit to him. And you might be right. You might be smarter. You're probably definitely prettier. I can guarantee that. But let's suppose an 18-wheeler, a semi, is trying to merge into the freeway. And let's assume that a sedan is coming down the expressway, so it has the right-of-way. And the 18-wheeler has to yield. Now, the 18-wheeler may have more clout than a sedan. It may weigh heavier. It may be larger. He said, preacher, are you comparing me to a semi? That's not the point, all right? I have a point here. The point is, if that more powerful this semi does not yield, it's going to crash and bring destruction. Submission has nothing to do with how much you bring to the table. Submission has to do, doesn't have anything, nothing to do with how much education or clout or notoriety a woman has. It has to deal with God's ordained role. You see, in the kingdom of God, men and women are equal in value, but they are different in role. I'm going to say that again. We are equal in value in the kingdom of God, but we are different in role. And we know that internally. We do. In a world in which feminism continues to be pushed, that men and women are equal in every way is simply not true. And it is something that is a lie from the devil, stealing away the uniqueness of men and women. And we see the fruit of it even today, of some of the craziness of men can have babies. Listen, even if I wanted to have a baby, I can't have a baby. I've seen some babies born with my wife. And guess what? No thank you, all right? Not happening. If men had babies, we would die off after starvation and disease. Let's just face it. It's true. You see, feminism sounds great until there's 12 inches of snow on the driveway, all right? Feminism sounds great until there's a war. Let's just make it real. And when we realize that if all the men, and this is how some young people are thinking, unfortunately, and unfortunately it's because they've had men in their life who've abused them and used them, and they go, why would I want a man in my life? Men, the importance of us leading in a Christ-like way has never been more important. And there are some ladies who look at men and go, why would I want a man to lead me? I've been hurt so badly by them. And some of it has happened even in churches. And it breaks my heart. I know it breaks yours. But if all the men disappeared tomorrow, another country would invade tomorrow, the next day. They would not stop. There were no men tomorrow. So many men, a vast majority of the men, I know there's exceptions to the rule, they're the ones building the highways. They're the ones building the buildings. They're the ones, and there's certain things that men are better at than women, and there's things women are much better at than men. And so, man, in the kingdom of God, yeah, we are of equal value, but we are different in role. And too many try to treat everything is the same. We're not the same. In fact, that's one of the favorite things about my wife, is she's not a guy. We're not the same. Not the only thing, all right? That's one of them. Just one of them. And when you, wives, you show respect to your husband. I'm going to talk a little more about that here after I get done with the husbands here in a moment. They're next, all right? Of explaining what that looks like and the tension in between that. And so let's move on to the next one. Husbands, love your wives. And he mentions it four different times. He says, ladies, respect your husbands two different times. He says, men, now when you read this passage, let me tell you, a lot of pastors don't like covering this because it gets uncomfortable when you say, wives, you need to submit to your husbands. But that's what it says. But listen, when you really read this passage and you study it, men, you're the one who should be really uncomfortable, because four different times God says, love your wife. Not just love your wife, but notice the symbolism here. And notice, as we're reading this, and maybe you've said this before, marriage is just a piece of paper. You don't realize what you've just said. You've said something, I believe, ignorantly, and you're missing out on the beauty of what God has done. It's much deeper than that. It is deeply, deeply symbolic, and it's deeply spiritual. Notice how it reads here in verse 25. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. Does Christ abuse his church? Does Christ speak bad of his church? Does Christ neglect his church? Absolutely not. So men, as we're reading this, we have this high calling of husbands. Love your wives. Love your families, just like Christ loves his church. He gave up his life for her. That's what I'm talking about. Men, we are called to a sacrificial love. It is an agape love, a love with sacrifice, expecting nothing back in return. We do it because that is our calling. Men, you should live a life of loving your wife and loving your family and sacrificing. Why? Because God simply asked you to do so. The preacher, if the circumstance was this way, I would do that. No, you wouldn't. Because the love in which we're called to is a sacrificial love. We do it out of duty, and that's what God has called us to. And notice what it does. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of by the water of the word. He did this to present to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, without any blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives just as they love their own bodies. You can tell a lot about a man as he looks at himself, of his own body and his wife, how he treats her. A man who's always speaking down and not building up his wife. One who's always arguing with his wife. One who is neglecting his wife. It mirrors how he feels about himself. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. And no one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. What a calling. Men, we are called to so much more. Back in 1999, Syracuse University interviewed a large number of married couples. And they asked them this: what do you want in your marriage? What do you need? The number one response among men was this. So a secular university, this is what it was. Respect from their wives. Respect from their wives. Men indicated that when their wife said things like, she makes me feel capable, or she is proud of me, she is willing to follow my lead. There's some things that these men said about their wife. It makes me feel respected. The number one response among women was affection from their husbands. You know, their husbands showing love in the way they talk and their actions. And when their husbands would court them, buy them things or gifts, in other words, their love language. And you probably have read that book before, Five Love Languages. We all have our different love language, and those are good and needed, and you can figure that out. But we see that even built into us in the way God made us, is we need love and respect. Now, don't take this the wrong way. I'm not saying that men do not need to feel loved. What I'm saying, ladies, is this, and what we see in Scripture, is that when your husband feels respected, he then feels loved. Men, when your wife, and you show her affection, and you show her love, you're doing things for her, the things that she likes, and each woman's a little bit different depending on her love language, and you're showing love, it makes her feel loved and valued and respected. In his book, Love and Respect, Dr. Eggridge, I think I've mentioned this book before, wonderful book I'd recommend to you. He says, there's something called the crazy cycle. Now, it could be the wife who starts it. It could be the husband who starts it. This is what happens, is that when a wife maybe doesn't feel loved by her husband, she may act in a way that's not respectful to her husband. And when her husband goes, man, she's speaking down on me, or she's nagging me, or she's just, you know, making my life miserable, why would I want to show love to her? And so he doesn't show love to her. And then she goes, well, this jerk, he's just not showing any love. He doesn't quite get it, so she doesn't show respect. And it just goes round and round and round, and you're caught in this vortex of this crazy cycle. And what should someone do? Listen, first it should be the man, but let's say it's not. Whether it's the man or the woman, because you're committed to Christ, because you're committed to Him, you're going to show respect to your husband because your commitment to him. Husbands, you're going to show that love to that wife even if she is not being respectful. That's what we're called to. Someone needs to stop the crazy cycle. And that is an answer to so many marriages today. Then you go home, you don't like right now who you're married to. You won't admit that, but like, man, there's a problem. We have some unhealthy things in our marriage. What should you do? Man, I want to call you to lead. You can't always help. You can't always help or control the actions of your spouse. You can't. Ladies, I'll give you this tip. If you're dating a guy and you think, I'll marry him and I'll change him, I don't need you to say anything else. Everyone laughed enough that you should get the picture. The only thing that will change him is a relationship with Jesus. And Jesus can change him, true. But you won't. You won't. Same with you men, you're not going to change her. Only Jesus can. And so, this crazy cycle, someone must stop it. And your commitment to Christ, it can't end. As you're committed to Christ, and men, as you step up and you lead with a sacrificial love, you'll be the kind of man that woman wants to follow. I believe that every godly woman wants a godly man who will love her sacrificially, care for their family sacrificially, and you have imperfections just as we both do when we bring a marriage together. You have two imperfect people coming together, and we get all, every one of us, point at something that's not right with our spouse. Well, you married a sinner, and they married a sinner too. And grace needs to be shown. Forgiveness needs to happen. There's times you're going to need to forgive your spouse. Now, I'll say this. Men tend to be better at this than women. They just do. We know it's true. We make jokes about it. We do, right? We get in an argument, and the reason men don't win most of those arguments is because a woman's like having those papers in her mind, like the filing cabinet never gets emptied. And so every wrong thing you've ever done, she can bring back up as evidence to show you, like, no, you did this on, 1999 on December 2nd. Like, I remember 3rd, like, boom, boom, boom. And you're like, I don't remember last week, And that was going on. Ladies, some of those files need deleted. When we forgive, we move on. I'm not saying you never get angry about it any longer, but you choose not to use that as ammunition any longer. You've moved forward. And for your marriage to honor God and for you to move forward and to heal, you need to forgive. We need to forgive one another. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 warns husbands that if they don't handle their wives gently, God won't hear their prayers. Hear that, men? Men, if you do not handle your wife gently in a loving way, God is going to go, you know what? We're holding off on your prayers right now, bud. So, if you're wondering, how important is this to God? How important is this in my life? It is so important. God will go, you know what? I'm done hearing your prayers. I don't want even to hear from you. Whew. That is next level. And I'm always concerned about that, of like, man, wait a second. God, I want to be gentle and loving with my wife. One, my kids see that, but ultimately God's the one who sees it. And I don't want my prayers hindered. I don't want my prayers hindered. And men, as you live a sacrificial love, be aware. Be aware. That if you're Captain Jerk at home, God knows it. And he goes, I'm done listening for right now. Now, do we need grace? Do we have bad days? Do my wife and I ever argue? Just when she wants to, usually. Every now and then we do argue. And I want to say this as a tidbit. There's a right way to argue, and there's a wrong way to argue in marriage. There's a respectful way and a loving way. And there may be days you don't necessarily even want to be around them in that moment or like them. But always love her. And I like her a lot more days than I don't like her. I just want to say that. Usually it's my fault anyway. My point is this, is that husbands lead. I know we're living in a world that wants to look at every male figure on every TV show. And it doesn't matter what, if he's black, white, Asian, he's always the idiot in the family. He always is, every show, almost every movie. If it's a male figure, he is the idiot, he is the goofball, every single one of them. What's going on? It's just Satan. It's Satan want to devalue who men are. And you think, well, they want to show the value of what a woman is. But we see that society just talks out of both sides of their mouth. Men, we've been called to protect. We've been called to show value and lift up our wives and our families. We know this. What do you think? You think back of when a ship like the Titanic was going down. What was it? It was women and children first. Men stayed. It's built into us. We know that. We live in a society today. We've seen with college women's sports, of men participating in some of those. We see, it won't be too long, I hope I'm wrong, where maybe even other sports that are set aside for women to enjoy sports, to enjoy competition, and yet men are being put and allowed into some of those. That's awful. That's awful. That's not right. It's sinful, and it degrades our society. But some do not look at it that way. And I could go more into that, but I'm not here this morning. You get the drift. And I realize maybe a little bit I'm speaking to the choir this morning, so to speak. But we need men and women who will love one another. You see, lastly is that husbands and wives are called to honor God. How do you have a good marriage? Some say you just need to be friends. Some say don't go to bed angry, never argue, stay committed no matter what. But is commitment enough? What do you do when you're committed to your spouse, but your spouse is not? You throw kids into the picture and things get crazy quickly. Understanding God's purpose for marriage is critical to having a godly marriage. God created marriage to be a covenant agreement between two people, a woman and a man. As husband and wife, a couple is united by God, it says, one flesh, both legally and spiritually. Notice as it says here in 31, the scriptures say a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, he's like, I want to make sure y'all get this. That's what he's saying. You must love your wife as he loves himself. And the wife must respect her husband. This too is united into one. One day my children will find someone special and they will get married. They will leave my household. They will leave the authority I have over them. And they will start a new family. They'll have their own family. I'll gain a son-in-law or a daughter-in-law one day. They'll start their own. It's how God set it up. And I want to say this as a sidebar, I guess, is notice it says the two become into one. This beautiful word called akkad, meaning coming one in every way possible. We see this even in the Trinity when Jesus said, I and my Father are one, akkad. And we see this, it means to be one in every way possible, spiritually and physically. It's much deeper than just a piece of paper. It is a covenant agreement between you and the Lord. And this two becoming one. Now, parents, I want to give you something here. I know you love your children. And maybe you can see some things getting messy in their marriages. And I realize that things can get a little murky in certain situations. But all in all, listen, husbands, I know you love your mama, but there's no room for your mama in between you and your wife. Amen, preacher. That's good. I like that. Mamas, love your husband, love your sons. Absolutely. But if you're butting in that marriage every single time they look around and have a fight, stay out of it. Stay out of it. It'll do you a lot of good. Because this is what will happen. She'll forgive him, and you're still going to be mad about something, about what happened. She's moved on, or he moved on. He's like, well, you know, we worked through it, and you're still just fighting mad about it. How dare you do that to my son or my daughter, right? I'm not saying there's not a time to step in certain situations. Those can be clear. But moms and dads, let that two become one together and let them grow. There's some mistakes you need to let them make. And if you jump in every single time your child has a boo-boo and trips and falls, like, they're never going to figure some of those things out themselves. Let them learn. So God has given this beautiful thing called marriage to us. And I'll end with this. We've heard time and time again that in the world that the divorce rate is 50%. And many have said without any proof that, oh, it's the same in the church. Let me tell you something. It is not. That is incorrect information. It is not the same. For someone who goes periodically, maybe not even so much faithfully to church, the divorce rate is around 30%. It goes lower and lower and lower for the couple who says, you know what, we're going to be faithful in church. We're going to be involved in church. It gets down to the single digits. Does divorce still happen in churches? Sure. Been at this for a while. I've seen it. Unfortunately, it happens. But you know what? People who go to church faithfully, they hear God's word and read God's word faithfully, and it's involved in their lives. They're trying to live it throughout the week with their children and their wives. Do we do it all perfectly? Nah, nobody does. Nobody does. But as we keep our eyes on Jesus, we're reminded, I need to love that little gal like Christ loves the church. What a high calling. Wives, you are called to respect your husband, to follow his lead. To follow his lead. He won't do everything perfectly. And men, if you're wise, you're going to look at that wife of yours and go, you know what? She is very good at this, this, and this. And you're going to let her run with those gifts in which God has given her. To respect and to submit to your husband does not mean, husbands, that you micromanage everything about your wife. I've seen this in Christian churches. Woman, you submit to me, and you're not going to go here, you're not going to go there, you're not going to do this, this is what you're going to do, this is what it's going to look like. And then you're surprised when dinner's cold. That's not what God has called us to, men. A wise man is like that Proverbs 31 woman. Man, read about that woman in Proverbs 31. See all she's doing. I mean, you talk about a woman who is godly and bringing respect for her husband. She's working. She's doing different things. Maybe you work. If you're at home and you're a stay-at-home mom, trust me, you work at home, right? You're a stay-at-home mom investing in those kids. You see that Proverbs 31 woman? She's like a real estate agent. She's buying land. She's selling land. I mean, she's on top of it. I want to pray for our marriages. Lord, in this day and age, Lord, marriage is looked down upon, but you've called the church to lift it up. God, in today's world, many are confused, many are hurt, and many feel hopeless. Maybe right now, just right now, maybe there are some marriages in our own church, in our own midst, that are struggling. And they're wondering what they should do. And God, you've given us the blueprints for a happy, holy marriage. So Lord, I pray that we'll be willing to put our pride and our selfishness to the side as men ask ourselves, am I really being loving and having a sacrificial love in my marriage and family? That wives will ask themselves, am I Am I really respecting my husband? Or am I just making fun of him behind his back or even in front of him? Am I honoring him? Am I showing respect as Christ loves and respects his church? God, I pray that maybe there are some marriages right now that there's some couples who need to forgive one another. There's some couples right now that need to spend more time together. There's some couples right now that they're going through some serious spiritual battles and in their own life and maybe even with their children. And Satan is always trying to put a wedge in between the husband and wife. Lord, we need you. And I pray that you will fill us with your Spirit. That we'll be controlled in our thoughts and actions by your Spirit and not our flesh. Lead us. Guide us. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand in a spirit of prayer.